الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الفناء الله أكبر الله أكبر لا
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا المصطفى صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إن المنافقين يخادعون الله وهو خادعهم وإذا قاموا إلى الصلاة قاموا كسالى يراءون الناس ولا يذكرون الله إلا قليلا صدق الله العظيم وقد قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم آية المنافق ثلاثة إذا حدث كذب وإذا وعد أخلف وإذا اؤتمن خان أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام Most respected elders and brothers, if we study the history of Islam, from the time of the period of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the companions, the noble companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then we will find many challenges, trials and tribulations and hardships and challenges. One of those significant challenges that the Ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam faced was from this group known as the Munafiqeen. They were known as Munafiqeen. Now Munafiqeen means, a Munafiq means, if we loosely translate it into the English language, we will say a hypocrite. The person is a hypocrite. And if we analyze it from our basic understanding, we will say that the person, he is two-faced. In other words, he shows you a certain face, but there is another side to him, which is a complete contradiction and opposite to what you are actually seeing. And if we look at the period of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, particularly in Madinatul Munawwara, there were this group of individuals who had fit the description of Munafiqeen. And unfortunately, if you look at the incidents that had taken place, instead of supporting, assisting, and strengthening the Deen of Islam and the Muslims in Madinatul Munawwara, these group of individuals had caused major to the Muslims in Madinatul Munawwara, to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself, to such an extent that it even came to a point where they had plotted to assassinate Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So this, we may say, is the enemy within. The enemy that is so hard to detect. And throughout history, you would look at the different incidents that took place. These individuals are easily bought off. They can be used to destroy, to dismantle an organization, an institute, a country, to topple a regime. Of course, one cannot run away from reality. This is the real world that we're living in. In an ideal world, you can completely eliminate these individuals. But the reality that even if we study the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, a call was made to the Nabi of Allah because he was aware who the Munafiqeen were. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam knew who the Munafiqeen were. In fact, there was one particular Sahabi by the name of Hanzala radiallahu anhu, if I am not mistaken, to whom Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave a list of the names of the Munafiqeen. A list was given to him. It was a secret list that was just with him. It is said that Umar radiallahu anhu used to constantly go to him and ask him, tell me, is my name on that list? He would never give an answer. But Umar radiallahu anhu would watch him, that whenever a person, a believer, so-called believer, passed away, he would look around to see whether this sahabi had attended the janazah or not. And if he noticed that this sahabi did not attend the janazah, he understood that it's highly likely that this individual was not really a believer, but rather he was a munafiq, for which this sahabi did not attend his janazah. So Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam, a call was made to him to eliminate and get rid of these hypocrites and these munafiqeen. But Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam was not a person who was driven by emotion. He was a Nabi who was very strategic. He was a Nabi who understood, if we may say, the geopolitical situation of the time. He said that if I have to get rid of them, it will be said by the people around and the empires around that look at Muhammad, we say sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he is killing his own people. He is eliminating his own people. And Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam understood that he needs to also portray and convey an image of unity, that we are a united community. And therefore Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam tolerated their hypocrisy. But of course Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had issued severe warnings for the munafiqeen. For example, Allah ta'ala has mentioned in the Quran Majeed, إِنَّ الْمُنَافِقِينَ فِي الدَّرْكِ الْأَسْفَلِ مِنَ النَّارِ وَلَنْ تَجِدَ لَهُمْ نَصِيرًا, that the hypocrites will be in the lowest pit of the fire of Jahannam, and there will be no one to assist them and support them and help them. May Allah protect us. So indeed, these munafiqeen will be severely punished in the hereafter. Allah will deal with them severely. In this world, they will get away with the hypocrisy. But in the akhirah, a severe punishment awaits those who have got hypocrisy. Now, of course, we come for these Jummah programs. In these few minutes, we want to be inspired. The question we have to ask ourselves, and we have to analyze ourselves, because when we come for these programs, it's for our self-improvement. It's for self-rectification. It's in order for us to get that boost. The question we have to always ask ourselves is, how strong is my iman? Al-iman yazid wa yanqus. A person's iman increases and it decreases, it fluctuates. We have to make sure that it's fluctuating within the, as we may say, the allowed levels. If the iman gets too low, it could go towards hypocrisy, where the person is no longer a true believer, although he or she portrays themselves to be a believer, but in the heart the iman is no longer there. May Allah protect us. If a person is suffering from some medical ailment, you know, the doctor says, you know what, you have got signs of diabetes. Now, we know, perhaps we've got that one uncle or that one relative who is now on insulin. They've, removed one of his toes or, you know, amputated some limb. And we can see what a pitiable condition he's in. And now we understand the ramifications and the consequences of diabetes. And now if the doctor says, look, I'm detecting some traits of diabetes, what happens? The person becomes concerned. The doctor says, you know what, but, you know, it's just the signs are there. If you do X, Y, Z, you know, there's a high likelihood that, you know, you could save yourself from the major consequences of diabetes. Change your diet, get some exercise, whatever it may be, stay away from this, stop the smoking. Now the person is concerned because he knows that if I allow my body to deteriorate to that extent, then unfortunately I'm going to be facing consequences that I've seen in others. Having said that, we have to understand that physical ailments are confined to this world. And we have to look after our physical self. It's important. This body is an amanat from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is a vehicle that we will use to fulfill the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But the reality is that the weaknesses of the body and the challenges of the body are confined to this world. Whereas our iman, not only will it have an impact with regards to our worldly life, because a person whose iman is strong, a person who's obeying the commands of Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, a person who's making an effort to stay away from the disobedience of Allah, then Allah will bless him with a wonderful life, a prosperous life. Allah will fill that heart with tranquility, with serenity, with peace, with an inner peace. And this inner peace has got nothing to do with the outward conditions. That person whom Allah is pleased with, Allah will put that happiness and tranquility within his heart despite the challenging condition outside. It is something that's beyond our understanding. Allama Jalaluddin Rumi rahmatullahi alayhi gives an example of Bilal ibn Rabah radiyallahu anhu. Bilal ibn Rabah radiyallahu anhu was the first muadzin of Islam. And he was being beaten by his masters. And they were trying to force him to come out of the fold of Islam, but what he kept on saying was Ahad, Ahad, despite being beaten. Allama Jalaluddin Rumi rahmatullahi in a very dramatic way says that when he tasted that sweetness of Iman, that halawat of Iman, then despite the beating, despite the torture, that sweetness of Iman was so beloved to him that he was prepared to sacrifice his entire body. This is the reality. When the person becomes close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he becomes passionate on his deen and in the love of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They say love is something that can drive you. Love is blind, you know, these statements we hear. It is something that will propel you. And this is what is required for us to strengthen our iman. So the reality is, respected elders and brothers, we need to be extremely concerned with regards to our iman. And subhanAllah, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has given us certain signs, you know, certain symptoms, if we may say, certain symptoms that could possibly mean that the person is heading towards hypocrisy. So now when we know that, listen, I've got this one symptom, I need to do something to cure, you know, they say treat symptomatically. I need to treat this symptom. First, let's start with the ayat of the Quran and Majid, which we recited in the start. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that the munafiqeen are such that وَإِذَا قَامُوا إِلَى الصَّلَاةِ قَامُوا كُسَادَ. To perform the salah. And we must remember that in the time of Rasul, that even the munafiqeen would come for salah. Even they would come for salah. But they would come for salah in a very lethargic way. They would approach, their approach to salah was like in a very lethargic way. So yes, they performed their salah. The question we have to ask ourselves, that what is the condition of my salah? Because my salah is linked to the strength of my iman. The stronger my salah, the more protected my iman is. The weaker my salah, the more vulnerable my iman may be. And in fact, it is mentioned in some ahadith that that person who leaves out salah intentionally, مَنْ تَرَكَ صَلَاةً مُتَعَمِّدًا فَقَدْ كَفَرْ. The person who leaves out salah intentionally has committed an act of disbelief, an act of kufr. So our salah is a very important component to the strength of our iman and the weakness of our iman. Hence we find that بُنِيَ الْإِسْلَامُ عَلَىٰ خَمْسِ. Islam, the foundation of Islam is on five pillars. Shahadatu an la ilaha illallah wa anna Muhammadan Rasulullah wa iqami as-salah. The testifying that there is none worthy of worship besides Allah and that Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the messenger of Allah wa iqami as-salah and the establishment of salah. Therefore, amongst the first symptoms we have to identify is the strength and the weakness of our salah. And we have to take the steps in the right direction. Salah must become a part of our DNA, a part of our lives. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the tawfiq that we are always focused on our salah. It is mentioned in one hadith that that person, وَرَجُلٌ قَلْبُهُ مُعَلَّقٌ بِالْمَسَاجِدِ. That person, his heart is attached to the masjid. The heart is attached to the masjid because the masjid is the place of sujood. It is the place of salah. So therefore, one of the first areas that we need to check is our salah. How was my fajr salah this morning? How did I perform my fajr? And those of us who alhamdulillah are performing our five daily salah, we can tick that box, but it doesn't stop there. Because now we have to always progress. We are performing the salah, but what's the quality of the salah? قَدْ أَفْلَحَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ الَّذِينَ هُمْ فِي صَلَاتِهِمْ خَاشِعُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that those believers who have acquired the quality of devotion and concentration in their salah, they have attained success. So not only will we perform our salah, but we will make an effort to develop concentration and devotion in our salah. And this concentration and devotion is not something that is impossible to achieve. It just means that focus in your salah. Just as you're driving on the road and you need to focus, especially if you're going through mist and you know you're doing that fun rain and spas, those who know the area will identify. And imagine now you've got a lot of fog and mist and you're going through that fun rain and spas. What happens? You're focusing on the road. This is how we need to approach our salah. Focus on what you are doing. Generally speaking, our salah, the condition of our salah is such that we are not focused on that salah. In fact, if we are performing our Jummah salah, we're thinking about the lunch. What's there for lunch? How am I going to approach my work? So we should try and keep our mind in that salah. I'm reciting Surah Fatiha. Let me keep my mind on the words. I'm going to ruku. Let me keep my mind on the tasbih. Subhana Rabbi al-Azim. That my glory be to my Rabb who is great. I'm going into sajda. Subhana Rabbi al-A'la. Glory be to my Rabb who is the most lofty. And in this way, keep your mind within the salah. Yes, shaitan will constantly come and try and bring in a thought. In fact, one person came to Imam Abu Hanifa rahimahullah. He said, okay, Imam Sahib, you know, I got a big problem. I had a, you know, treasure chest with gold and jewelry, and I buried it in my property. I can't seem to find it. I don't know. Imam Sahib said that what you do, go home, make the intention that, Ya Allah, I'm going to perform 1,000 rakats of Nafil Salah. 1,000 rakats of Nafil Salah. As soon as he started the Salah, he broke the Salah and he came to Imam Sahib. He said, Jazakallah, I remembered. As soon as I said, Allahu Akbar, I remembered. Now imagine for weeks he couldn't find where the chest was. But as soon as he started Salah, what happened? Imam Sahib realized that, you see, Shaitan you will find as soon as you start salah, that one thing that you forgot for the past 3-4 weeks, suddenly it comes in the salah. This is shaitan trying to distract you, trying to divert you, because he knows the power and the impact of just 2 rakats of salah. It is mentioned with regards to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, whenever the Nabi of Allah was faced with any challenging situation, he would hasten towards salah. He would perform those 2 rakats of salah. And the power of those 2 rakats of salah would be such that it would be a means of, you know, inviting the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is a means of inviting the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So therefore, we should never underestimate our salah and pay careful attention to our salah, the concentration of our salah, the performance of our salah, and trying to make sure that we perform all our salah in its stipulated time, with jamaat as far as possible. May Allah ta'ala grant us tawfiq. The second quality or weakness of the munafiqeen, yura'un an-nas. Allah ta'ala says that these munafiqeen, these hypocrites, they have got the quality of showing off. They are always doing things to show others. They are not sincere. They always need people to acknowledge their work, their efforts. So there's a lack of sincerity. So therefore, this is an indication with regards to our intention. Any good deed that we do, remind yourself that I'm doing this for Allah and Allah alone. Whether the person says Jazakallah or doesn't say Jazakallah, whether the person acknowledges my weakness or acknowledges my contributions or doesn't acknowledge, I did it for the pleasure of Allah. And Allah has seen it. And if Allah saw it, I don't need anyone else to see it. Hence the Nabi of Allah is praised and has mentioned that the person who spends in such a way that not even his left hand knows what the right hand gave. He too forgot. He gave and he... So somebody said, "Bhai, you know, Jazakallah, I'll never forget what you..." I said, "Bhai, I don't know, what did I do for you?" This is a sign that the person is not somebody who keeps on looking for acknowledgement. Yunus Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, Yunus Patel Sahib Rahmatullah Ali mentioned that he went to visit someone. So mashallah, this person, Allah had blessed him with the opportunity of performing hajj after hajj after hajj. So he told his son that bring the zamzam water from the 5th hajj. Bring the zamzam water from my 5th hajj. So Maulana Rahmatullah explained that this is an indication. What was the need to say 5th hajj? The need, the reason why the person said 5th hajj, because he wanted to make it known. He wanted that person to know, okay, I am that fortunate person. You know, I got so much of money that every year and so many contacts that I've been for hajj 5 times in a row. Unfortunately, this is a sign that the person is doing these great deeds for the sake of name and fame. May Allah protect us. The person who does any action for any ulterior motive besides the pleasure of Allah Jalla wa Ala, it will definitely be rejected in the court of Allah. You'll get nothing. May Allah protect us. Do it for Allah and do it for Allah alone. Final quality mentioned in the Quran and Majeed of those who are hypocrites, وَلَا يَذْكُرُونَ اللَّهَ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا. They remember Allah very little. The remembrance of Allah is there, but it is very, very low. So now we have to ask ourselves that how often do I remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And remembering Allah does not mean that the person has to sit with the tasbih in the masjid and make Allah Allah. Yes, that is one form of remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But remembering Allah means that every moment of the day the person can be remembering Allah. The person sits in his vehicle, he says, Bismillah. He remembered Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He's driving the vehicle and he's enjoying the beautiful, comfortable drive and he says, Ya Allah, you granted me this beautiful car. The person looks at his children and he says, Ya Allah, you blessed me with such beautiful children. The person is in his workplace and now there's a deal to be done and he knows there's a defect in this item. He says, Ya Allah, you are watching me. And he discloses that defect. He says, Allah is watching me. We'll say that this person is constantly in the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That too is the remembrance of Allah ta'ala. So constantly be in the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah is with us all the time. Allah is with us all the time. And if we can keep Allah in front of us all the time, then subhanallah, we will reach the levels of what is termed as ihsan, where Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was asked by Jibreel alayhi salam, mal ihsan, what is ihsan? He said, أن تعبد الله كأنك تراه فإن لم تكن تراه فإنه يراك. That you worship Allah in such a way as if you are seeing Allah Ta'ala. And if you can't reach that level, then Allah is watching you all the time. So this is the constant remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is with regards to, for those brothers who have come late, we will just remind you that inshallah there will be time after the bayan where you will have an opportunity to perform the sunnats. Whilst the bayan is on, we will discourage the performing of the sunnats because it disturbs the speaker. This is time that is given for people to, you know, get some form of inspiration and some advices. The advices can be life-changing. It can be a means of inspiration for others. Now if we are going to perform salah, we are going to be distracting the speaker as well as the audience. This is also part of the teachings of Islam, that we have consideration for others. In one ayat of the Quran al-Majeed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala admonishes the believers that إِذَا تَفَسَّحُوا فِي الْمَجَالِسِ, that when you are entering a congregation, do not jump over one another. Sometimes you see it, that there may be one small gap in the first saf and the brother comes late. He comes last, but he'll go and he'll jump over everyone. One is there is space in, like mashallah, there's space there. Now if the person snakes his way through to come to the front, we will say that is fine. But sometimes you find the person pushes everyone. You know, he's very important now. So he pushes everyone. He jumps over each person and he comes right to the front. We will say that this is bad character. This is not good character. Of course, everybody didn't go to a madrasa and maktab to get the necessary etiquettes. But these are teachings of Islam, that we will not cause inconvenience to the next person. We will not park our car blocking the driveway of another person. We will not block the road when we come to the masjid. These are all teachings of Islam. And these are part and parcel of the noble character of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Just on this point, it is mentioned, when the Nabi of Allah woke up on the night of Bara'a, the 15th night of Sha'ban, the Nabi of Allah disturbed the sleep of his wife Aisha radiallahu anha on the side. He didn't even wake, disturb her sleep. If it was one of us, even we woke up for tahajjud, mashallah, the whole road would have come to know, okay, Hazrat woke up for tahajjud salah. Because we are, mashallah, very important, the whole, everyone must wake up. Okay. But subhanallah, the teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was consideration for the next person. And finally, we will terminate on this beautiful hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. For those who arrive late, we are discussing the qualities of the hypocrites, so that we can protect ourselves from hypocrisy. Because indeed, hypocrisy is a very dangerous disease and malady, for which Allah has given severe warnings that the people who are hypocrites will be in the lowest pit of the fire of Jahannam. May Allah protect us. Three qualities were discussed as mentioned in the ayat of the Quran al-Majeed, that their salah, they are very lazy with regards to their salah. They are always showing off their good deeds to others, and they remember Allah very little. And finally, in this hadith, and there are many other qualities, but you're just mentioning a few. Rasulullah s.a.w. said in one hadith, a sign of hypocrisy, there are three signs of hypocrisy. إِذَا حَدَّثَ كَذَبَ, that when the person speaks, he lies. He lies. A believer is someone who cannot speak a lie. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was known, one of his titles of our Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was As-Sadiq, the truthful one. When the Nabi of Allah was inviting his family towards Islam, he said, if I have to tell you that there is an army about to attack you behind this mountain, will you believe me? They said, most certainly we will believe you, because you are As-Sadiq, you are the truthful one. You have never spoken a lie. So a believer, a true mu'min, a person whose iman is strong, will always be honest. He will never speak a lie. May Allah Ta'ala bless us with honesty. The second weakness of a munafiq, or sign of a munafiq, وَإِذَا وَعَدَ أَخْلَفَ, when he makes a promise, he breaks the promise. Today we find people will say, I rather do business with a non-Muslim person than a Muslim person, because he never meets his deadlines. He never pays on time. When he did the transaction, he said, listen, I'll pay you the end of the month. End of the month comes, the next month comes, 2 months come. So he didn't tell you when he said the end of the month, in 4 months time. The end of 4 months. That's what he meant. But this is the thing, that you gave your word that you're going to be paying at the end of the month. A believer is someone who, when he gives his word, he fulfills his word. And this was another title of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He was Al-Amin, he was trustworthy. And this is when people can trust you. That you are a man of your word. You said that you're going to meet that person at 3 o'clock. That was the word that you gave. You need to make sure that you are there at 3 p.m. Otherwise, he's never going to respect your word again. The next time you say 3 o'clock and you only arrived at 3:30, he's not even going to come on time. He said, oh no, I thought you say, I'm waiting here, it's 3:15. Then I thought you'll come. So it is important that when you give your word, you stick to your word. And this is from the teaching of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You made a promise, fulfill your promise. If there's some reason, you said 3 o'clock and you could not arrive at 3 o'clock, have the decency as a believer to send the person a message. Okay, brother, please forgive me. I'm on my way. There's an accident on the road. I'm stuck in traffic. I probably will be about 10 to 15 minutes late. Then, inshallah, we can understand. Brother, I was supposed to pay you on time, but unfortunately, there's some major issue that has just taken place, and I'm just running short of some cash. But inshallah, in 2 days' time, I will pay you. And make sure that you pay that person in 2 days' time. So, إِذَا وَعَدَ أَخْلَفَ, when you make a promise as a believer, ensure that you fulfill your promises. You should be a man of your word. May Allah Ta'ala grant us tawfiq. And finally, وَإِذَا أَتُمِنَ خَانَ, when the person is given any trust, he unfortunately, he violates that trust. He does not fulfill that trust. He is, if we may say, he breaches that trust. Today we find that we have got many, you know, many trusts and responsibilities have been placed on our shoulders. Perhaps the person is a manager of a store. The person is in charge of employees. He's in the HR department, for example. Now that is a trust placed on his shoulders. Now he knows that my friend has done something which is inappropriate. And now he covers up for that person. Or the person uses the amenities of that organization or that business for, you know, his own personal need. He was given a company vehicle and now he uses that company vehicle for his own personal needs. He was given a company cell phone and he uses that company cell phone for his own personal needs. We will say that you are not a person we can trust. A believer should be someone that we can trust. And one of the sifat and qualities of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was he was al-ameen, the trustworthy one. To such an extent that people would keep their valuables in his safekeeping. And when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam undertook the hijrah and the migration to Madinatul Munawwara, he placed Ali ibn Abi Talib radiyallahu anhu. He said that this belongs to so and so person. Ensure that it is returned to that person. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala strengthen our iman. May Allah Ta'ala protect us from the qualities of the hypocrites. And we mentioned a few qualities. The first, just as a summary, that they are very lazy with regards to their salah. They are always showing off their deeds to others. They remember Allah very lightly. And in this hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they speak lies. They violate and break their promises. And unfortunately, you cannot trust them. May Allah Ta'ala save us from such weaknesses. May Allah strengthen our iman, unite the hearts of the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.